NACE International, the National Association of Corrosion Engineers, located in Houston, Texas, presents NACE at IAAPA, Corrosion Control for Amusement Parks and Attractions, Part 2. In this episode, NACE member and senior project manager for Bainham Painting, Inc., Steve Hickey, shares insights from his nearly 30 years of corrosion control work in the amusements and attractions industry. From changes he's seen over the years to why painting rides and roller coasters is about much more than just visual appeal, Hickey has some valuable advice for anyone looking to save money and extend the life of their assets. Now, here are your hosts, Elisa Reich and Steve Hickey.
I'm here with Steve Hickey from Bainham Painting at the IAAPA show today, and we're going to talk about our experience here. So, Steve, tell me about what your impressions are of this event so far.
Well, I've been to the IAAPA show many times. In fact, the first time I came here was 28 years ago, and I came here with Chris Bainham. It was just the two of us, and to be honest, we were just a couple of kids hoping to get a footprint in this industry. And now, 28 years later, I've been invited to be a guest speaker here, not only represent Bainham, but help to represent NACE and continue to move forward in the amusement park industry. So it's a pretty proud moment and a pretty proud day for me personally.
So what, in your many years of coming to the show and being in this industry, what do you see about the industry that's changed that has made it more maybe ready for corrosion information and knowledge and education?
Well, the one big thing that has taken place over the last several years is there have been some corrosion-related, we'll say, incidences within the industry that are really bringing corrosion and mitigation practices to the forefront. We're also seeing not only insurance entities and regulations that are driving this, but also state regulatory agencies also. I've had some interaction this past year along with NACE, with Ohio, and a bill they called House Bill 189, or they refer to as Tyler's Law, that is specifically related to corrosion in the amusement park industry. So if I've seen one major shift in the last several years, that would be it.
And what advice would you have for some of the companies that are here that may not have a dedicated corrosion control program or system in place? How often do you encounter that, and what would you recommend for companies that are not there yet?
Well, what immediately comes to mind is that in this industry, public perception is everything. We're all privately funded. So if we lose consumer confidence, if we lose public perception confidence, then that affects our business, that affects our bottom line. So with that said, we tend to be, I would say, secretive, or we don't want to talk about our corrosion problems. We don't want to talk about any problems within our parks specifically. But the fact is, we all have maintenance issues. We all have the same common problems. And if we can find a way to share these problems industry-wide, not necessarily with the public, but with the industry, we may start to recognize patterns. The key is we really may start to find solutions. If a solution works for this one entity, then why couldn't that solution work for all of them? So if we could just see some loosening up or interaction with these different owners and different organizations, then together, hopefully we can find some solutions to the common problems we all have.
Can you tell me about an experience you've had where you kind of came in with a company that was just getting started in, you know, managing corrosion on their assets, and how maybe that process went? Was it, have you ever had that where you started at the baseline with no corrosion prevention in place and taking them from A to Z?
Well, I think what what comes to mind first, and it's really more ride specific, not a corrosion management, but a different understanding of how to approach a proper coating system. I got involved with a ride on the East Coast a few years ago that had been repainted multiple times, and they simply didn't want to feel the pain, so to speak, of the proper prep that would have been required. It had been recoated, I don't know, at least 8 to 10 times. To do so, to properly prep it, there was going to be a lot of paint that was removed and a lot of paint chips that were going to be everywhere. It was something that they didn't want to deal with, and many times over they didn't want to deal with it. So they continued to paint over an already failing system. Well, it would look great for a month or two, but then they'd go through the season and then the winter and the freeze-thaw cycles, and it all starts to come off again. It was in pretty bad shape. So after a couple of seasons of working with them on this, got them to acknowledge that, hey, the only way to properly fix this is to remove all this failed coating and get down to a solid substrate. We didn't have to sandblast it, but down in there somewhere was something solid enough, a coating that was healthy enough to accept an overcoat system. But we had to get through all that. They were sending seasonals out in the spring to just paint whatever they could reach with whatever they happened to have that it looked good. But we even had coatings on there that there was no record of what they were. It took two different seasons. We did get their problem fixed. It was painful for them, but I think they learned the value in doing it right one time versus doing it wrong 10.
So when you say painful, you mean financially? Was it the cost, or was it the time out of operation?
Not just financially. Given their logistical location, it was practically impossible to contain all those chips within that ride perimeter. So it affected some of their neighbors. Cleanup efforts were ongoing continually. Sure, there were city administrators, will say, that were very unhappy with what was being done. But because the cleanup effort was a continuous basis, not just one time while we were done, it was manageable. We got through it. The city knew that it was necessary as well. So in the end, all worked out well, but it was painful for them to get there.
So is that a common occurrence or a common kind of mistake that's made where an asset owner will just keep coating over and over and over and not stop to really think about the underlying problem? So can you tell me what kinds of savings people would have? Is it more, is there a lot to be gained from not just recoating and recoating, but actually doing what you said, going back to the, you know, going down to the base and starting to look at everything at the, forgive the lack of proper terminology.
The substrate,
thank you.
You know, I think the best way for me to answer that is actually refer to NACE's impact study, which looked at several industries and their corrosion management methods. Some had corrosion management procedures, some did not. And they were able to develop a baseline that showed that if somehow we can find a way to get ahead of corrosion and focus on its prevention versus continuing to chase corrosion and focus on its mitigation, then a savings of 30 to 40% over the long term of the asset has been realized.
What do you think keeps people from, or keeps companies from taking that step of the longer term decision making? Is it lack of consistency in people taking care of the asset, or more cost-related concerns?
Truthfully, I think it's more of a thought process. Many times in our industry, we tend to focus on the aesthetics of a ride. So the moment, maybe we're retheming the area, or the park overall is going through a retheming process. So from a maintenance perspective, we've kind of focused on what does it look like? What are the aesthetics of it? But now with the push we're seeing over the last several years, we're really starting to see ones focus on NDT inspections, weld inspections. Non-destructive testing. So we're actually seeing now that we're removing coating in some instances just to expose welds and steel in various places so that these inspections can be done. So, you know, I think it's just a learning curve to think more in a long-term strategic way versus short-term strictly from a aesthetics viewpoint.
Specifically about you, you're in the corrosion industry, but you're in a really unique position in what you do. How did you come upon corrosion and also specifically the amusements sector?
Well, I'm from the Cincinnati, Ohio area, and we, Bain & Painting, had an opportunity to bid the Beast at Kings Island, which up until several years ago was still the world's largest wood roller coaster, and by a long shot, I'm sure we were awarded that contract. So we buckled down, got serious. It was a 6-month project over 2 seasons, fall and spring, and it went well. And at the end of that, it was determined that there's actually a niche in the amusement park industry that nobody's filling. Not that everybody didn't have somebody performing their painting or their coating systems, but nobody was going after the industry as a whole. So here I am over 30 years later, and now I'm representing NACE and Bain & Painting to the entire industry.
And what got you into corrosion originally? Just your from the start of your career, what was it that drew you to the corrosion field?
Opportunity. I didn't head down the road thinking I was ever going to have anything to do with coatings. It just, the opportunity presented itself, and I did it because there weren't any better opportunities at the time. Fact is, in time, it grew into the best opportunity that I had.
And when did you discover NACE in your career? Was it early on, and did you get involved with the organization, or how long has it been?
So about 10 years ago, we sandblasted and repainted the McDonald Observatories in West Texas, owned by University of Texas. A NACE inspector named Gary Vorick was on that job. Now, I've worked with inspectors in the past, but Gary was also an instructor. So he brought a unique twist to his inspection. Not only did he say yes or no, we can live with this or we can't live with this, he took the time to explain to me why and how we got to these determinations. He showed me different test methods. He taught me to read specifications properly and read product data sheets properly. I was so impressed by what I learned from Gary. I wanted to follow in his footsteps, so I took in with his encouragement, I took NACE 1 and 2, and at that time we had to reach certain thresholds on our practical and our written exams to have at least the opportunity to instruct at some point. Well, I was fortunate enough, well, I should say I studied hard enough, that I did reach those thresholds. Like I said, I wanted to follow in Gary's footsteps. So when the time came, I applied to take the instructor interview, and I've been an instructor for NACE since.
Thanks for listening to NACE at IAPA, Corrosion Control for Amusement Parks and Attractions, with Elisa Reich and Steve Hickey. NACE International is a not-for-profit association that equips society to protect people, assets, and the environment from the adverse effects of corrosion. If you like our show and want to know more, check us out at nace.org. That's NACE.org. And be sure to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. See you next time.